Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. We try to get to the bottom of a puzzling mystery. For 6 years, the city of Charlotte has been working on the Cross Charlotte Trail. The plan was to use that trail to connect 40 miles of other trails through this city and into neighboring counties. They originally budgeted $38 million for the project, but recently City Council was told the project was a little short of cash. $77 million short. And that was a surprising revelation.
Are we saying in plain English, we don't have the money to finish the Cross Charlotte Trail?
That's right. $38 million does not build all 26 miles of Cross Charlotte Trail on a permanent alignment.
City Council's Braxton Winston talking to City Engineer Michael Davis at a recent meeting. This revelation leads to a lot of questions. How long have planners known about this? How could a project be so over budget? Why didn't planners understand the real costs? What options do we have now? Do we find the money or just stop the project? For some answers, we're turning to two people who were surprised by this turn of events, as were most, if not all, members of City Council when this miscalculation was reported. Braxton Winston is here from City Council. He's an at-large member of Council. Thank you for being here, and happy birthday. Today's your birthday?
It is. Thank you very much.
There'll be cake.
I expect it now.
But not on this program. Oh, out in the hall. And Tariq Bakari is here. He's from District 6. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
We have Michael Davis. Mike Davis here. He's the city engineer for the city of Charlotte. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back.
And the Charlotte Observer's Eli Portillo, who has been following us in the paper, is also with us to straighten all this out with us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Braxton, the clip we just played, I think, sums up the moment. Julie Iselt was here last week. She described the discovery as stunning. How would you describe it?
Stunning is a word, disappointing. But there's an opportunity here. As I continue to think about, there's an opportunity to take this problem and do something great with it. I'm still not sure that I'd believe the $77 million number right now, because we don't have a plan for the entire 26 miles of this proposed trail. So I think we have a lot of work to do, and we, as a city, as a government, we promise the people of Charlotte this trail, and we have to figure out now how to deliver it.
So when you say you don't necessarily believe the $77 million number, is that because you don't think it's going to be that much, or you think it's going to be more than that because of the underestimation we've already been through?
Well, I don't think we know the number because we don't have a plan.
Okay.
We don't have a plan for completing the trail.
Okay. Tariq, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, the way I've described it is, as a taxpaying citizen, frustrated, and as an elected official, embarrassing. And, you know, it's just, if we did this poorly on something of this magnitude, it just begs the question, what else is floating out there that we don't even know about now?
Well, a couple of questions. We're going to get to that later on in the program, but you said it was embarrassing. You weren't on council when these decisions were made, nor are you a member of the city staff who follows through on the plans that city council okays. So why was it embarrassing to you?
Well, at the end of the day—
And who should be embarrassed?
Yeah, well, that's the question, right? There's two questions. Let's look back to make sure accountability is held and that we never do this again. Let's look forward to figure out how we move forward. I'm embarrassed right now because no matter if it was my decision or not, the buck ultimately stops with the person who's in the seat. Mm-hmm. So when you look back on how this came to be, right, and I'm still digging and trying to figure it out, people deserve to know who at the end was accountable. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, when a city manager sat in a room saying big ideas and they say we could do this and split it with the county, and then they end up estimating using a county proxy number that really was only a proof of concept type mm-hmm. number, and then they say, okay, we'll double it, and that should account for it. Instead of then going and say, okay, let's do the real planning and design work, they say, let's bring it to the taxpayers. And ultimately, two bad things happened there. One, they never circled back to do the actual forecasting work. And two, people knew about it. And at the end of the day, I don't know if they suppressed it on purpose or not, but names need to be named. And when I look at the folks who were sitting on top of the CIP committee from a decisioning perspective, that's Deborah Campbell, and that is Randy Harrington, and the head of CDOT, is Danny Pleasance, and those folks either didn't know or they knew and didn't say anything, and both of them are unacceptable.
Remind people of who those people were.
They were a kind of either the budget director from in Randy's case, who is no longer with us. In Deborah's case, she was a deputy city manager who is no longer with us. And then and they sat atop that CIP Capital Investment Committee, and they were where the buck stops there. And then this was run by CDOT, and that's what Danny Pleasance is in charge of. So it's unacceptable. This is bad news. Is not like fine wine. It doesn't get better with age. And somebody didn't do their job in bringing this to light.
Right.
Well, and I will say, you know, about a year ago, I sat on this program, and we were talking about things that are going to be different. And you know, I'm going to own this. You know, I might have not been there when the decisions were made, but this is something we as a government said that we are going to deliver. And as I sit in this seat right now, this is I'm less worried about finger pointing and figuring out how we get to the end. And I can tell you as well, our city manager right now is owning this. He's saying this, the buck stops with him. And he's going to figure out how to understand how we got here and where we move forward. And as Tariq said, figure out what else is in the pipeline so we don't get caught by surprise.
So Michael Davis is here. He's a city engineer, and I'm not putting the blame on you, but it was your unenviable task to bring this to city council's attention,
sure,
to tell them that we're $77 million short. So I'm just curious. This thing has been underway for 6 years. When your department or others in the city knew that the $38 million was not going to cut it, when did you know?
Sure. So similarly, what I could say is I own where we are and where we'll need to go from here. Wasn't in the room to understand fully and in detail what the origins of the $38 million were, but certainly understand that that was based
on... So you weren't there or you weren't part of the decision at the time?
I personally wasn't involved in the Cross Charlotte Trail based on my role at that time.
Okay.
I became city engineer in June of 2017. Part of what comes with that job is to make sure that all the projects that are happening with the city that are part of what we call the community investment plan are delivered with the scope that people are promised and on a schedule and on budget. And so my understanding of what had preceded that moment was that, first of all, it was a big idea. It was an ambitious vision for how we could link the community together through a new type of infrastructure that the city really didn't have. As a big idea, it wasn't one that benefited from the type of planning that we normally would do and that we do on other types of projects typically. When you would do advanced planning on a project, part of what it lets you do is spend a little bit of money up front to test a concept, understand the environment in which you're going to work, understand what environmental conditions and what real estate costs and things may be. So that's information that really didn't well inform a $38 million figure at the time.
We didn't use that information? We didn't look for that information?
So it was done without the benefit of the amount of time it would take to really get into details. So that was the beginning of
what was called.
So it was just sort of a transition in a way that the city thought about the community investment plan before and what became known as the CIP of big ideas.
Okay.
And so the idea was, whereas in the past, what we had been doing was following infrastructure plans that sort of anticipated in the future what types of things we'd need to be spending money on. The idea was, let's take on some big ideas and see what we can do.
So let's back up,
sure,
because you didn't answer my question.
Oh, sorry.
When did you know?
When did I know? So I found out when I came on the job at the same time. So let's rewind to June 2017. As I become aware of all those different projects that need more money, Cross Charlotte Trail was one of them. So as part of budget processes, we try to get a handle on anything that we would need to be able to add more funds in order to complete those projects. So first of all, let me own it. We did not do a good job of telling between that moment in time to now. What we did do is try to explain it in the context of a budget process that this project needed more money.
How many other people knew it in 2017?
I personally don't know.
Okay. Eli, you've been following this for years, and a lot of people don't know what we're talking about, this Cross Charlotte Trail, but I know it's 26 miles. It was projected to be 26 miles, ultimately connecting other trails to this trail in a continuous system. And when we were talking to Julie Iselt last week about this, she described it not only as a recreational project, but as a way to get to work. It was a conveyance for people to use bicycles and walking so they could get to and from things that they wanted to do. And it was part, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the 2008 10-year Greenway Master Plan. And one of the things that Julie Iselt said last week on this program, that she was surprised that the city didn't really have a lot of long-term plans until recently, until Marcus Jones, the new city manager, came in and said, you don't have any long-term plans. Let's make some. How can we build a greenway on a 2008 master plan and get it so long? It's 61.9 miles of new greenway trail is what they wanted by this year. Do we have that?
No, and okay. The county has struggled with its greenway master plan as well. They really put that in place in 2008 and haven't seen it built out very much.
And that's another thing. I was in the same room 2 days ago with Pat McCrory, former governor, former mayor Pat McCrory, and Vi Lyles, the current mayor. And he asked her, why is the city on the hook for this? Well, I thought the county built the greenway.
So traditionally, the county has done that through their role as overseeing and funding park and recreation. Uh-huh. This is really a collaboration that is designed to speed that up and kind of break down some of those silos that these projects have typically fallen into. A lot of cities like Charlotte are investing heavily in greenway systems, trails for bikes, ways for people to get around besides cars. In Atlanta, there's the 22-mile Beltline project that rings most of the center city. And it's really kind of in fashion right now, seen as an economic
development.
Yes, it's seen as an economic development tool in addition to an amenity. So that's one reason you're seeing a lot of Sunbelt cities really try to build these out as quickly as they can. It's seen
as
a competition.
More specifically, we were looking at this as a transportation option, and that is directly under the city's purview, and that is not something that falls under the county's purview. So this was a chance to interconnect our roles, and as Eli said, kind of break down some of those silos.
Tarek, you said that this project was flawed from the beginning and that it boggled your mind. How is it possible, do you think, to have so badly underestimated the cost of this?
Yeah, well, I at the end of the day, and I learned this in my first budget cycle, and I've been beating this drum at a more macro level, which is there is a poor historical culture of planning and using capital the right way in the city. And what I mean by that is there's this kind of culture of, oh, let's have some big ideas, and everyone kind of jump for massive numbers of the pot with very little planning and sophisticated forecasting.
How have we survived unscathed till this point then?
Well, that's the question. I mean, we would still be unknowingly happy had they not gone to a bid and this caught on our radar at that point. And when you look at the end of the day, this is over the last year, I've said we need more shovel ready, small bite sized projects. I'm not against big visions. I love them, but don't come and ask me for $38 million when literally even to this day, this 26 miles, the portion that's the city's, is made up of 11 segments. And then as Mike said earlier, there's, I just guessed it, and then the next level is I'm in planning, and then the next level is I'm designed. And designed is the most accurate forecast of where it is. One of them is completed. Four of them are planned and designed. Four are only planned, and two have not even yet been planned. Yet $77 million is supposed to be a number we know.
I got 30 seconds. You want to jump in here, Eli?
And I do think going back to this planning, it's important to point out that from the beginning, there were footnotes and little annotations in the plan that basically said, you know, $38 million will cover the cost of part of this, or it's anticipated that more revenue will be required in the future. So that was always kind of in the footnotes of the planning here.
Did anybody read those footnotes?
It doesn't appear that people really read to page, you know, 160 of the master plan, so to speak, and looked at the footnotes there.
We have to stop. That's Eli Portillo, reporter for the Charlotte Observer, here with Tarek Bakari and Braxton Winston from City Council and Mike Davis, city engineer. We're coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the $77 million shortfall for the Cross Charlotte Trail, which we found out about 2 weeks ago now, or maybe a week and a half ago. Braxton Winston, he's here, at-large city council member. Tarek Bakari, District 6 council member. Mike Davis is a city engineer, and Eli Portillo reports on all this in the pages of the Charlotte Observer. They still have pages. Mostly it's online. Right? Eli, we just talked about the master plan and the footnotes in it, and you wrote a report on this, saying that The 2016 master plan stated, quote, it is anticipated that resources in addition to the bond proceeds will be required to construct and maintain the trail. Is that type of language typical in these reports, or should that have been a red flag?
I think it's pretty typical when you're looking at a plan that doesn't have a detailed budget attached to it. Mm-hmm. It seems that a lot of people from my reporting understood that there was a shortfall of some kind, but not the full magnitude of it. For example, I talked with Julie Eisholt and Greg Phipps, in addition to the council members we have here today, and they both told me they were aware that there was going to be more money needed. They thought it would be more on the order of a few million dollars, maybe $10 million, something like that, not $77 million more than the original project estimate.
One of the excuses we've heard about these cost overruns, because we've just gotten to the point now where they want to build out the trail to the northern parts of the county to follow along the Lynx Blue Line extension and all the development that is occurring there because of the Lynx Blue Line extension, that they didn't know that land values would be more expensive today than they were when they planned this trail out, 2006? How could they not know? They knew the Blue Line was going. They knew what the Blue Line did in the South End to land values. How could they not know? How could they not budget for this? Who the hell is in charge?
I'll take it. That question is for
me. Yes, Mike, it's for you.
So that's great. So I would never make an excuse that we would not be able to anticipate land values going up. If we're trying to understand how does a $38 million trail be thought to be the right amount of money for what turns out to be an over $100 million trail, it's because the city didn't know at the time what we were really going to be building, where it was going to go, how wide it was going to be, and what the specific real estate impacts are.
But we had bonds to pay for
right.
that were issued to the tune of $38 million. If we didn't know what it was going to look like, how wide it was going to be, exactly where it was going to go, what the engineering requirements were to make it happen, why are we having bond issues?
But when you lack that shovel-ready, smaller project discipline and you go for these big ideas, you end up using proxies from the county that says, here it is. And what's the flaw in using a proxy from the county? They use in their building of greenways, they typically use public right-of-way and things like that. They're not inside city limits. They're not land acquisition. Those proxies only have construction costs in them. That only represents 50 to 60% of what this type of deal is, let alone the fact that later on we figured out it's not 10 feet, it needs to be 24 feet wide and all these other factors.
And this is behavior that goes back project after project. You look at the Blue Line extension period and the problems that we're having with affordable housing, that we didn't go and buy land ahead of time. This is a sorry excuse that constantly gets given for city projects that honestly, I'm tired of, and I know I believe a lot of my colleagues are tired of. That I believe it comes down to that we didn't have the right people asking the right questions.
How much of it has to do with the fact that we went for eons without a planning director?
I think
it's more
about the way we go about doing business. It's more about the way we go about doing business. We don't get project updates the way that we're supposed to do. And part of that is the way I think we should get. And the excuse is always, well, we have a professionally managed staff. And so the elected should stay out. Therefore, the public should stay out. And we see how as you kind of stay in that silo, bad things happen, and you don't get the right questions asked and the right information and the right groupthink behind problems like this. I think that's what we need to do now moving forward. I think we can do something.
And I do think that there are possibly relations to the leadership changes we've had in the city. We've been through since 2012, I think, five mayors, three city managers, a long time without a planning director, different department head changes. Most of the people who were involved at a high level in conceiving this plan are either in different roles or aren't even with the city anymore. We've got a majority new council. So in a lot of ways, we're looking back through entirely new eyes.
Our relatively new city manager, Marcus Jones, has made some policy and procedure changes in light of what he saw when he came in and took the job prior to this revelation. What are those procedures? How are those procedures going to change things?
Well, he's inherently changing the way business gets done in this city from a kind of run your own business. Mm-hmm. Basically, different departments ran autonomously. They didn't kind of combine around budget needs. There was double work being done. And he is changing the way we think about it, that it is all kind of comprehensive. And there is interdepartmental collaboration on projects and thinking about things. I think that's how we're going to have to move forward with this. I think when we look at the different buckets of money is How can we make this trail some type of an attraction to put more heads in beds like trails like this do around the country? We look at us being designated this new Bloomberg City, and we have these new funds that are aimed at transportation and combining transportation projects with environmental issues. This seems like a perfect opportunity to do that. So how can we, again, continue to move forward to look at how we can combine things as opposed to building this thing in just a silo and just putting this on Mike and say, go figure it out?
You mentioned Bloomberg City. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City and the billionaire who may run for president, was here a couple of weeks ago, and we're one of 20 cities in the country that his philanthropic organization is giving money to because of things that we want to do and have done in the past. The Cross Charlotte Trail, I keep calling it the Cross Country Trail. The Cross Charlotte Trail was billed as a signature project for the city, and certainly it's been an enjoyable addition, but for those who use it or the parts of it that are done. One of our producers, Cole Del Charco, went to the Little Sugar Creek Greenway and spoke to a couple of people walking their dogs.
One of the things that I've done whenever I've traveled to other cities for business or pleasure is found the greenways there, and they've just been like the Tobacco Road Trail in the Durham area is just wonderful, and you see how many people use that, and it stops at Park Road, and then you're like, okay, now you got to figure out how to get to the next piece. So it'd be great for it to be crossed, and then also it would allow for better bike traffic for commuters.
The only thing I don't understand is $77 million, is that the price point to finish it? Whoa, seems like a lot. Now, there are trails and trails. I mean, we do a lot of trail running. I mean, this is luxury.
This is luxury. Are we overbuilding, overcomplicating the infrastructure of this thing because it runs through the city, or because we simply want to make this more than a walk in the woods? Charlotte, being the aspirational city that it is, always wants to be putting its best foot forward.
Well, I think this what you see here right there is that it can be a unique attraction that is specific to Charlotte.
This is what you want to do.
That is what I want.
I think you suggested this at City Council, that maybe the money for this, the $77 million, can be found from the hotel and tourism tax fund.
I think part of it can be.
Because by state law, all that money has to go to tourism projects. How do you convince somebody that a trail that you want to use for commuting purposes is also a tourist attraction?
Well, there are different buckets of that tourism money, and you're right. There are very specific kind of definitions of how that money can go in. And if we are able to use that, if we want to look at that as an option, we're going to have to define this project in a way that fits those buckets of money. And I think that if we think about it in a different kind of way, which we're going to have to get this thing done, that we might be eligible to do that. As part of the capital stack, all from that bucket.
You may not know this, Eli, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How much money do we get from the hotel, motel, restaurant tax?
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Any of you know how much it might? I know that it is in excess or just around the $77 million that we need, but that money has already been earmarked for the convention center revamp and for possible changes to Bank of America Stadium.
Aside from my feelings that we made commitments in 2012 to the community to get this done without spending more of their dollars than $35 million, which became $38 million over time, that hospitality and tourism fund is one, it sits on the backs of all of these, you know, one in nine people that work in this industry, and we have to, it's spoken for the most part already. So there's not extra. In fact, it's probably oversubscribed at this point. But even if it wasn't, it's our responsibility to make sure we spend that wisely in things that are going to put the heads in beds and economically grow. And I think once you get over 10 or 15 miles in length of your kind of cross Charlotte trail in other cities, that becomes a destination, but it isn't going to beat out the arena, the stadium, NASCAR, convention center, the things that actually directly bring people here. It's more of the ancillary benefit. So I don't think that's a viable option.
So let's go ahead.
Well, what you've seen in some other cities like Atlanta is a combination of lots of different financing buckets.
Right.
You know, Atlanta has local bond money. They have federal grants. They have private entities building portions of it. They have
$50 million of private entities coming in and investing.
So in the Atlanta Beltline, which is a little bit of a proxy for this project, you have all money flowing from five, six different sources towards different portions of it. And I think looking for one silver bullet in Charlotte is probably
correct.
Not going to get
so us. That's what I think we should do, Mike. I think we should do in a plan going forward, and it's still coming into view for me, is let's take what we can do with that $38 million that we've already committed into this that makes the biggest impact, which are probably the three projects that have been proposed to us. That gives us an 18-mile contiguous trail. Now that becomes something that is more of a destination and serious. Mm-hmm. And then what I think we need to do is engage the private sector. We inadvertently create incredible value to landowners and businesses, particularly, in these areas that we do this stuff. So let's not impose a new tax on them. Let's voluntarily, just like Atlanta with the Beltline did, say, hey, we would like to do a TIG with you, tax increment grant, and would you like to participate? Does the math work where you think if this is here, you're willing to contribute the capital because it makes sense from a business case perspective? And doing unique things like that is going to enable us to continue the Northeast piece of this.
So we didn't promise the city of Charlotte an 18-mile trail and segments of a trail. We promised a 26-mile trail. We need to come up with a plan for those 26.
Yeah, we have to make a new promise.
We have to come up with a plan for 26 miles, and then we have to figure out how to get that funded. And I agree.
Where should that planning begin? Should it begin with Mike Davis and his department? Because it seems to me that you have no hard numbers until you know what you're building.
Correct. Exactly my point, Mike. And we need to know what we're building. And
nobody should believe $77 million. That is an unrealistic number.
I agree. And I think there are different ways that we approach getting this thing built. This can be an attraction that puts heads in beds. This will be an opportunity to continue public private partnerships.
Okay. So Michael, the two people we just spoke to, mind you, that's not a scientific survey of people's opinions, but they were commenting on how luxurious this trail is. Does it have to be? I mean, I'm for making things as nice as we can afford to make them, but does it have to be as nice as it is? I mean, look at this money here. It's sure. We're talking about you're asking for $77 million more, or a total, when you add up the $38 million that's already been spent, $115 million to build 26 miles of walking trails. That's $4.5 million a mile.
Sure.
What?
So
it's a sidewalk.
So this is a sidewalk, if you want to think of it that way, that is built into some of the worst topography we've got to deal with. And so once you begin a project in some of those conditions, you're going to take on high cost of real estate, high cost of structures to work within the topography to create retaining walls, structures, and the things that are needed. Mm-hmm. One way we would get this wrong is if we opened up a trail that on day one is inadequate to accommodate the demand that people want to see on it. So there is a sweet spot where you try to balance the cost against what you get out of anything in the project that brings that cost. And so we spent a lot of time engaging the community, trying to understand how it'll be used, and think we have the right design. It will be expensive to build.
And here lies another problem. There's an equity issue right here, that this trail really exists from the center of Charlotte down south. Mm-hmm. So when we look at this, when we look at trying to create a plan that completes the 26 miles, how are we going to complete it in the same fashion so that the people up north and in the northeast parts of the city where this trail will run will have a same or a very similar product to the people in South Charlotte?
So what do you think? What do we do? I mean, I think that the two of you, and I don't know that you speak for the entire city council.
We don't.
We do.
Okay, but the Republican speaks for the entire city council.
No, he doesn't.
What's the body politic think about this? Do you want to go ahead and find this $77 million? Do you want to try to build out the trail the same way it exists already so that the people in the north don't feel cheated? Do you want to stop the project where it is in its tracks right now? What do you want to do?
I would go out on a limb to say I believe I'd probably speak for all of us in a couple areas. One is that we are uncomfortable moving forward on any individual decisions or parts of this until someone comes and recasts us what the whole thing is going to be. And I also think that I would also go out on a limb and say everyone's pretty much expressed that I've heard talk about this, that just backing away from this at this point is not an option. So when you look at that, I think that's where we start to deviate, because I don't want to spend another dime of net new taxpayer dollars to figure out how to make this happen. We have to get creative and cast a new plan that allows that creativity to deliver as close to the original plan as possible.
If the tourism tax is not a possible thing to use because it's tapped out, all the money is spoken for.
I would say that there's no date on this. That's one thing. Right. Even the original time, there's no date on it.
If there is, if there's a lot of hoops to jump through to get private investors to step in here and say, we'll give you some money, and that's not, and that's going to take a while to happen.
They've already been standing up.
Is there an appetite for another bond issue on this?
Not for me.
I think that not for me right now. I think, again, it's be presumptuous to define where that money is going
to
come from.
Why would they expect to trust us this time?
So we have not only this project, but just last week it was announced, and this is not the city, but this is Katz, the Hawthorne Street Bridge that's going over 74. They stopped construction because the girders that came in do not meet the specs for vertical alignment. I don't know what that means, but I do know that they have to replace all the girders. This is another major mistake.
We're not off to a great start.
Mike, what's
in 2019
going on here?
Sure. So we can talk a little bit about that. So that is a part of the streetcar project,
right,
requires
right.
reconstruction of the bridge over Independence.
Right.
City hires contractors to do that work. The short story is the contractor has ordered girder steel that doesn't fit the piers.
Right, and the reason I ask is because how many other projects might there be that we don't know about yet because of our planning process up to this point that we may wake up tomorrow and find out, oh, my gosh, we're screwed.
So I'll refer just quickly to a moment in time in February of 2018, a presentation that I delivered that included what I understood at the time to be projects that might need more funding. Cross Charlotte Trail is one of those. Everything that is in that packet of materials is basically within its budget.
Okay. Where do we go from here? I have some comments here online from people who want blame to be laid, and you've named some names here, but I think blame is probably, it's maybe self-satisfying for a nanosecond, but then you got to figure out what to do next. What is happening next? And I have 20 seconds.
Well, that's up to us to decide as a council. Like I said, I want to find a plan. Then I want to figure out how to fund that plan and then execute that
and
plan.
And learn from the lessons of the past, which is, one, shovel readiness.
Okay. Tariq Bakari from District 6, Braxton Winston at large on City Council, Mike Davis, City of Charlotte City Engineer, and Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer. Thank you all. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.